Well, as I just said earlier, it's so nice to be with you today. So thank you very much, Robert, for the invitation, and to everybody for your welcome. And we're going to read on this Bible Sunday, Psalm 90. Psalm 90, a psalm written by Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. That's the bit you can really trust. So we just pray that the Lord will help me as I try to unpack that psalm. But before we get into thinking about the psalm, I want you to think about folk like Caspar and Miguel Enner that we've seen in the video, and just have a thought for those around the world who don't as yet have the Bible in their own heart language, what we used to call mother tongue, heart language. Do you know it's about 1 billion people around the world who still don't yet have the Bible in their language? And so the whole work of Bible translation, which I know many of you support the Scottish Bible Society, you pray for us, thank you for doing that. Please keep praying, keep supporting practically. Because the great work of Bible translation is not a job that's finished yet. There are still so many people in the world that need to have the Bible. And why do we want people to have the Bible? Because the Bible leads us to Jesus. And we need the world to know that there is a Savior who loves them, who reunites us with the living God and gives us his Spirit to live in us. So here in Scotland, I mean, we have got, I lose count of how many English translations of the Bible that we have, even though it's only about 60, 70 years ago before we had more than the King James Version. But in those 60 years, so many Bible translations in English. But here in Scotland, where we used to be known as the land of the book, now homes do not have a Bible. Many homes don't even have part of the Bible. So one of the things that we have done this year, we haven't had too many opportunities to distribute these, but this is a new copy of Mark's Gospel. We call it the kind of urban edition because it's beautifully illustrated. It's like a magazine. It's got beautiful photographs inside that kind of link with some of the things that are being talked about in the passage. And this is one of those versions of the Bible that it's really easy to give away because it's really good quality. We charge in £1 for it, but it's definitely worth that. You can order it online. And I just wonder whether there are some of you today might think about friends, family, neighbours, colleagues, people that you're encountering, where you might actually pass on a copy of Mark's gospel, do what Miguelina was doing in Guatemala, and so impacted Casper's life as we introduce people to the Lord Jesus. Now, those of you that watch online, watch the service afterwards, even though you've been here live, you don't get any of that online, okay? It just shows you it was worth coming out to church this morning because you get extra quality. So, Psalm 90, a psalm written by Moses, which means it's kind of even older than the psalms written by David. And it mentions generations in the first verse. So for even longer than the psalms written by David, the truths in this psalm have been passed on from generation to generation, probably for around 3,000 years. Isn't that stunning? So it's an ancient psalm, but it's full of truth. You might have thought as I was reading it, well, it's not the most kind of cheerful psalm in some ways. But you know, it's a psalm that deals with the really big issues of life. It deals with the big issues of life which help us to really consider the life that God is calling us to. And it starts with two verses that are really foundational for what comes in the next, in the rest of the psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So something that elevates the Lord God to really emphasize the fact that he's not like us. He's different. But an expression of this intimacy with God, where Moses says, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. I don't know about you, but we've been a bit stuck in our dwelling places over these last few months, have we not? And many of us have taken opportunity to improve our dwelling places, or certainly our gardens. But our dwellings have probably held more significance for us over these months. I mean, my neighbours are amazed that I'm not flying off around the world to visit different projects that we're supporting and things like that. They've had to get used to me being around. Our homes are places of safety and security and shelter, aren't they? Our homes are a refuge. Our hearts have gone out to those for whom home isn't a safe place. And I would hope we've even wept for those refugees or the homeless who don't have a safe place to self-isolate, don't even have running water in which to wash their hands as a protection against the virus. But interesting here that Moses says, no, God is our dwelling place. It's in God that we find our home. Now, this would have been absolutely stunning to the people who first heard this. You see, Moses himself says, look, God is everlasting to everlasting. He's the creator of the world. He's the maker of everything that we see around us. God is powerful, holy, almighty, eternal. But he can be our dwelling place. Moses goes on to talk about the frailty and the fragility of human life. You sweep away people in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and it's withered. I mean, it might sound a little bit depressing, but actually it's a statement of reality, isn't it? That our lives as humans are frail and fragile. And it's one of the things that has come home to us really powerfully during these days of the pandemic. Mere mortals, able to relate to the eternal God. The psalmist then goes on, verses 7 to 11, to talk about the seriousness of sin. The fact that actually there are things that make God angry, that cause him indignation, that, you know, even our secret sins come into the light of God's presence. And it's as if that Moses is exploring this business of how can sinful people exist with a holy God? So our mortality and our sinfulness are things that we might conclude keep us from God, that stop us relating to him, that prevent us from finding our home in him. But not so. Even here in the middle of the Old Testament, Moses is expressing that God is our dwelling place. Moses has discovered this, he's experienced this. And for over 3,000 years, that truth has been passed on from generation to generation, despite our mortality, despite our sin. And how much more can we rejoice in that? We who know that Jesus came and lived and died in our place, rose again victorious, and lives forever with his Father in heaven and gives us the gift of his Spirit. It's wonderful, isn't it? And sometimes I think we need to encourage one another by just grasping afresh the great truth of what it means to belong to Jesus. The great truth of knowing we're reconciled with the living God, that in him we find our home. And so let's pause and just ask that question. Where does my safety lie? Where is my security? Where do I find my identity? Where do I find shelter? And this statement that all of those things are answered in God takes away from it being, we find in our security in our material things, in our wealth, in our relationships, in our circumstances, whatever they are. We're taken beyond those to see that actually we are at home in the living God himself. I don't know about you, but even as I say that again this morning, it thrills me. It warms my heart, and it gives me that sense of confidence that I can live this week, whatever it holds, because of God. By the time we get to verse 12 in the psalm, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And it's as if Moses is saying, look, there's a way to live. When you know God and you have found your home in God, there's a way to live that is wise. All wisdom flows from God. And, you know, today we live, don't we, in such a bombardment of information. I don't know about you, but I watch and listen to the news much less than I did 8 months ago. Because I find I almost need to protect myself slightly from this bombardment of information that I just cannot take in. But wisdom doesn't come automatically, nor does it flow automatically from having more information. There are some people, aren't they, that fail to ever make decisions because they just want more data. They just want more information. And those of us that are a bit more intuitive find that quite frustrating, but we're all different. But wisdom is something that flows from God. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's interesting thinking about Casper in the video in Guatemala. Had got to a place in life where he realized, he had a real wake-up call, didn't he? Where he realized his need for God and his need for finding a wiser way to live. And when he found God, he found the wisdom and his family were reunited. That is such a message of hope and of transformation. But it's available to all of us, isn't it? To live wisely and to live in a way that pleases God. But it's interesting because the Bible's not, it's not just a book of rules, you know, stick to the rules and you'll be okay. The Bible is actually, it's much more dynamic than that. So, for example, the Bible doesn't tell us anything very specific about COVID-19. I mean, the next Psalm, Psalm 91, talks about asking the Lord for protection against the pestilence. But there's nothing very specific about COVID-19, not about Brexit, not about global warming. We don't go to the Bible to get a kind of pre-coded, this is what you should do in these situations. Rather, the Bible is a dynamic book that the Holy Spirit takes because it's a revelation of God's character to us and of God's will in the world, his will of salvation. And it's the Bible, as we said earlier, leads us to Jesus. It's as we interact with God through his word, as we read it, as we think about it, as we discuss it, as we question it, as we talk about it, as we encourage one another in it. Even there's a great book written, Eat This Book, Eugene Peterson wrote. And it's about taking the Bible in such a way that it begins to change us, changes our minds, changes our hearts, helps us to know God better, and that in turn helps us to navigate life wisely. Generation after generation after generation. That's what it means to begin to be wise. And then Moses ends the psalm by really talking about God filling every day for us. Because the Bible and a relationship with God is not a theory to be thought about. It's a life to be lived and experienced. And that is always the best way to pass something on to the next generation, isn't it? Is to give them a glimpse into how to do life. And Moses here is saying, the Lord, the God of who is from everlasting to everlasting, can fill our everyday life. So he says, verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. One of the deepest longings for us as human beings is to know that we are loved. And here Moses takes us to the essence of love itself, and it's the love of God. And it's a prayer, really, that God's love would satisfy us each and every day. Now, I don't know what your experience of love is, but our culture celebrates romantic love. It celebrates the expression of love sexually. It celebrates family love. It celebrates friendship love. But, you know, however good our experience of human love is in those different aspects, it is as nothing compared to the love that God has for each of us. And just imagine waking up every morning knowing you are loved by the living God. I mean, I don't know anything that could bring a smile on your face, whether you're a morning person or an evening person, whether you're doing it in the morning or remembering it last thing at night, that God loves us. And he's expressed that love so fully in Jesus himself. And I think what Moses is expressing here is that, you know, we're supposed to experience that. We're supposed to get quite excited about it. And we're supposed to remember it each and every day so that God fills our days. The psalm ends with, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's not just your paid employment. That's everything we do in the day. Everything we turn our hands to. Our relationships, the work, looking after a home, looking after children, making sure that everything we do it knowing that God is with us and is filling our days, because we have found our home in him and we're seeking him for wisdom. Do you know, friends, as followers of Jesus, we have words for a world in crisis. And the world is in crisis at the moment. We share a crisis in a way that none of us have ever experienced in our generation. There are lots of crises in different settings, different countries. A pandemic doesn't wipe out civil war. A pandemic doesn't wipe out, it actually exaggerates poverty. The pandemic has exaggerated lots of other problems. The world is in crisis. But friends, we have the words of crisis because we know Jesus. We know how people can find safety and security and shelter. And it's in God himself. So we do have a message of hope. We have the message of Jesus to take to the world. But we do that most effectively when we are living it, that it is our own reality, that we ourselves have found our home in God, that we're seeking by the guidance of his Spirit to live wisely, and we're filling each and every day with God. So friends, let's go into this week with confidence, with joy, with hope, because we've got good news to share. Thank you.